The National Broadcasting Company continues its worldwide coverage of the invasion story. Here are the latest developments, the latest news that has come in on the Allied invasion of France, as that assault across the continent goes into its second day. The Berlin correspondent in Stockholm says that new Allied landings have been made throughout the night in northern France, particularly in the area of Caen. And new reinforcements, the total strength of the Allied invasion forces, has been brought to 6 parachute and airborne divisions. Of course, this is an enemy report. It comes from the Stockholm, which we have been warned by the OWI as not too reliable a source of information. But the information is there for what it's worth. And then there's the late report by NBC's Stanley Richardson, a late report direct from General Eisenhower's headquarters, telling us that there have been no new Allied naval losses. Losses since those announced yesterday afternoon, the loss of 2 destroyers and a tank landing ship. Richardson also has a word of caution, a warning that there are some tough battles ahead, that the enemy, which so far has offered only light naval resistance, might suddenly send submarines into the channel to interfere with our amphibious operations. And the third Allied communique this morning, headquarters says that Allied invasion forces are making satisfactory progress in the French coast. Landing operations are being carried out without interference from German naval forces. Allied heavy bombers made 4 attacks on enemy rail communications and bridges in the battle area during the first day of the invasion. 26 enemy planes were shot down. 1 Allied bomber and 17 fighter planes are missing. And in Italy, 5th Army troops are 10 miles above Rome in their pursuit of the Germans. This report came to you from the NBC newsroom in New York.
Six 60 on your dial, WEAF, New York. We'd like to have you with us for another visit on your Modern Farmer program, which comes to you each weekday morning at this time with portions recorded and transcribed. Now here's that young man in charge, Mert Emmett. Hello, Mert.
Hello, Tom O'Brien. Good morning, everybody. Well, the great invasion is underway, and those of us here at home must keep on with our daily work, whatever it might be. Yes, we must keep on and keep a prayer in our hearts along with the pain and anxiety we know is there, too. To begin with this morning, you have heard the news, of course. You will hear the news all through the day on WEAF as any important bulletins come in, as well as on the NBC programs throughout the day. To begin with, on this program this morning, we would like to present a hymn by Emil Coté and the choir, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
Amen.
time is 24 minutes before 7 o'clock Eastern War Time. Since this is Wednesday, folks, we're going to have a regular feature this morning, which, as many of you know, is the Orchard and Truck Crop Review. We think we have several items that will be of interest to both farm and city dwellers in today's edition. First, here's a special word. Every farmer knows that a hailstorm can destroy a crop, yet some farmers are content in the belief that it always hails on the other fellow's farm. Did it ever occur to you that you may be the other fellow this year? Now, how long do you think that hail will continue to pass you by? Well, it's going to hail this summer, we can be sure of that, and your farm or no other farm is immune from hail. We know that, too. Well, hail damage to growing crops has always been quite a serious problem to farmers. 25 years ago, farmers asked insurance men to help them solve this problem. As a result, 13 leading old line capital stock fire insurance companies got together and formed the Rain and Hail Insurance Bureau. Now, one of the jobs of this bureau is to supply farmers with free information about hail insurance on growing crops. I have here a mighty helpful free booklet published by the Bureau, which tells you how the moderate cost of hail insurance protects you against loss from hail damage to your crops. Now, this attractive illustrated booklet will be sent to you free of charge without any cost or obligation. What do you have to do? Well, just this, and it's very simple. Just write your name and address and the word hail on the back of a penny postcard and mail it to Modern Farmer, Station WEAF, New York 20, New York. That's the word hail on the back of a penny postcard, along with your name and address, and mail it to Modern Farmer, Station WEAF, New York 20, New York. And we'd advise that you get that job done right away today. Well, time is 22 minutes before 7 o'clock Eastern War Time. Well, this morning's headlines in the Orchard and Truck Crop Review include special word on vegetable prices, how to treat lima bean seed, how to make a better lettuce salad. Those are just a few of the things in this morning's review. Well, to begin with, the Senate and House Committee on Banking and Currency have filed separate bills that are being thrashed out at the present time. The Senate bill extends price control until December 31st, 1945. That's the end of next year, while the House would end it on June 1st of next year. The Senate version limits subsidies after June 30th of next year to funds appropriated by Congress for that purpose, while the House draft permits the continuation of present subsidies, but no others, for the next 12 months. A provision included in the House bill reads like this. Whenever a maximum price is established on any fresh fruit or fresh vegetable, adequate allowance shall be made for hazards of production and marketing of such commodities throughout the crop year, including increased costs due to crop losses which have resulted or may result from such hazards. Now, if a maximum price has been established on any such commodity, the price administrator shall take immediate action to review and increase such maximum price from time to time by making further allowance to compensate for subsequent changes in such conditions, including reductions in crop yield. 20 and a half minutes before 7 o'clock. The War Food Administration has announced some more A Award winners, recognition for outstanding performance in the production of food. So we'd like to salute a couple of the processing plants near at home that will soon be flying the coveted A Award banner. They are the California Packing Corporation of Brooklyn, New York, and the E. Greenbaum Company of New York City. 20 minutes before 7 o'clock. The New York State Experiment Station people of Geneva have been doing some mighty interesting work in checking new chemical seed protectants for use in treating lima bean seed. 4 stands of lima beans are almost the rule instead of the exception, or so it seems. The lima bean seeds are very susceptible to decay organisms in the soil, and the seed is so sensitive to treatment that ordinary materials are very apt to injure the seed. We're glad to see that the Geneva experiments with new organic seed protectants have given returns of 50 to 500 times the cost of the chemical. Of the chemicals tested, Spurgon is recommended without reservation at Spurgon at the rate of 2 ounces per bushel of lima bean seed or 1/2 level teaspoonful to the pound of seed. That's 2 ounces per bushel of lima bean seed of Spurgon or 1/2 level teaspoon of Spurgon to a pound of lima bean seed. A couple of other chemicals, Arisan and Fermate, are promising, but the experiment station people feel that they should be given limited tests according to present findings. 19 minutes before 7 o'clock. Well, summertime is salad time. The main ingredient of most salads is lettuce. Now, the question is, do you know your lettuce? For example, did you know that approximately one-third of the lettuce consumed in New York City originates in either New York State or New Jersey? And did you know that the three leading types in the order of their importance are iceberg type, big Boston type, and romaine? Well, it seems that lettuce is one of the oldest cultivated vegetables of old world origin, mentioned by the ancient Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. From the earliest colonization period, lettuce has been grown in America, but only attained major importance in the past 30 or 35 years. Everyone's familiar with iceberg-type lettuce. The heads are usually quite solid, the leaves are crispy, and the center is rather well blanched. The big Boston or butterhead type is more loosely headed. Leaves are a good dark green color with a slight oily feeling, and the center leaves are only slightly blanched. Romaine lettuce is quite different from the other types of head lettuce. The leaves are long and rather narrow. They're sort of oval-shaped, and the head is fairly firm. The outer leaves have good green color, and the inner leaves are slightly blanched. Green color is very important in all varieties of lettuce, as it indicates a higher vitamin content and is therefore a little more nutritious. A good many other salad ingredients are in the market in profusion right now. There are plenty of them. They include radishes, scallions, parsley, cucumbers, beets, cabbage, celery, escarole, onions, green peppers, potatoes, turnips, and watercress. Now, salad combinations are almost unlimited, and everyone has one or two favorite combinations. They serve a triple purpose in daily meals. They add real eye appeal, they please the family's palate, and provide an appetizing means of getting the necessary minerals and vitamins into most any meal except breakfast. The time is 17 minutes before 7 o'clock Eastern War Time. Next, we turn to a note from the weekly newsletter of the Cooperative Fruit and Vegetable Association that's put out by our friend Porter Taylor down in Washington. Porter says that expiration of price ceilings on May 31st brought a repetition of what happened a month earlier in regard to OPA price ceilings on some vegetables. He mentions cabbage, snap beans, and cucumbers that were therefore without price ceilings on the 1st of June and presumably on June 2nd. Porter says on the afternoon of June 2nd, new ceilings were filed with the Federal Register shortly after 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but were made effective as of midnight of June 1st, which was 16 hours before filing with the Register. Porter adds that the press announcement was not released until the morning of June the 3rd. The June ceiling for snap beans is $2.70 per bushel FOB. That's 30 cents below the May rate, and 30 cents above the $2.40 price for this month as proposed last October. As for cabbage, the ceiling price to retailers for June in this area is 3.9 cents per pound. Now, the May price of $4.20 per bushel for cucumbers has been reduced to $3.15 FOB from June 2nd to the 15th, and $2.10, that's $2.10 on cucumbers, from June 16th to June 30th. Time, 15 and a half minutes before 7 o'clock. County Agent Walt Bean says that the Suffolk County Farm Wage Board out on Long Island is holding a public informal hearing this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the courthouse in Riverhead, Long Island. All farmers, farm workers, and others interested are cordially invited to attend and give their views as to prevailing farm wages in Suffolk County. Walt also gives this time a warning to Long Island potato growers. Colorado potato beetle slugs have started to hatch, and it's time to start spraying or dusting the spuds. Now, either a wet spray or dry dust can be used, and you can get full details on how to mix and use them from Walt's office at Riverhead. Walt strongly recommends that cobblers and other early varieties be dusted or sprayed this month with a material containing copper for the control of blight. Now, when you're spraying for the bug control that we mentioned just a moment ago, it doesn't cost much more to protect your early varieties against blight in June, this month, which is the most important time to prevent blight damage. Now, if there's blight on the cobbler vines at digging time, a little later on, well, the spuds are very apt to rot during shipping to market. So this means that spraying for blight in June, that's this month, will help you with your marketing of the crop during July and August. And keep in mind that if you ship potatoes affected with blight rot, it can well ruin the demand and market for early dug cobblers. 14 minutes before 7 o'clock. Just a reminder that last Sunday, changes in the point value of foods for June were made by the OPA. There were six changes. The way it stands now, no points are needed for canned carrots, orange juice, orange grapefruit juice, and grapefruit juice. Grape juice was increased 4 points for the pint, and the new value is now 10 points per pint on grape juice. Pineapple juice was advanced 3 points. That makes it 15 points now for the number two can of pineapple juice. 13.5 minutes before 7 o'clock. Approximately 5,000 community canning centers, the same as last year, are expected to operate this year with increased output, so the War Food Administration has reported to the OWI. It seems a great need for community canning centers this year is in the urban communities. Better trained supervisors, more plentiful equipment, and profits from lessons learned last summer, all these point to a larger, more successful pack of food in community canneries in 1944. Workshops for training canning center supervisors, who will in turn train patrons, are being held in practically every state. Most community centers can only in tin, and all are outfitted with pressure equipment for processing corn, peas, beans, and other low-acid vegetables. These vegetables are the source of the largest amount and most serious spoilage in home-processed foods. The time has gotten round to 12.5 minutes before 7 o'clock Eastern War Time. That winds up our Orchard and Truck Crop Review for today. We bring you one of these Orchard and Truck Crop Reviews every Wednesday, folks, and we hope that it will be of interest to both you folks who produce the fruits and vegetables and also to the rest of us who are on the consuming end. Time now, 12 minutes before 7 o'clock Eastern War Time. We have a song that we hope you'll enjoy.
Give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all. Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the sky not cloudy all day.
I have a true confession to make to you alone. It's all about the way I love you and adore you, my own. I've tried to seek expression for this desire I feel. You've made a very deep impression that my heart must reveal. Let me confess what I feel for you and the dreams that I dream. I'd even lie and steal for you a ghost to most any extreme. This is my true confession. I swear by stars above, now you're in complete possession of my secret of love.
The time is 9 minutes before 7 o'clock Eastern War Time. Well, as you can well imagine, there has been considerable goings-on in our newsroom. There will be for some time, and it seems that this morning, inadvertently, the boys have misplaced the regional weather report. We don't have it for you this morning. We certainly will have it tomorrow, we're sure, and every other day. We do have the weather report for New York City and vicinity. Today, partly cloudy, moderately warm, the highest temperature 78 degrees. Tonight, fair and rather cool, lowest temperature 60 degrees in the city, 55 in the suburbs. Tomorrow, fair and moderate temperature, dry air and moderate winds through tomorrow. The temperature now in New York City is 65 degrees, the humidity is 63%, and the time is 8 minutes before 7 o'clock Eastern War Time. Look now at our 180 special for this morning, 180 seconds, or 3 minutes of streamlined news and notes we thought you might want to know about. The dino clover, though it's a valuable crop, is a pretty tricky one to handle. Now, it's different from alfalfa and other clovers in its growth habits and has to be handled differently and given particular care during the grazing season, according to our friend H.R. Cox, who's extension agronomist at Rutgers. Lots of growers found out last year that a dino clover won't stand the continuous grazing that a little white clover gets in permanent pastures. The dino needs rotation grazing with ample periods of recovery in between grazing, and it needs 5 or 6 inches of top growth with which to go into the winter. 7.5 minutes before 7 o'clock. How would you like to have a portable barbecue pit to take around from place to place this summer? Well, we know that may sound a little funny, but Better Homes and Gardens magazine has a suggestion for making yourselves a portable pit if you have a steel-bodied wheelbarrow. They say to fill the wheelbarrow partly with screened sand, then take a few pieces of 1/4 by 1 inch strap iron, which you can probably find in a junkyard, long enough to reach across the barrel and bend down an inch or so on each side. 3 or 4 of these straps spaced a few inches apart across the steel-bodied wheelbarrow will support grills, coffee pots, and sundry utensils over the fire that you build in the sand right in the wheelbarrow. It's 6.5 minutes before 7 o'clock. Liming your soil is one job that can't very well wait this year. According to the experts up at Cornell, it's very important that you put the right amount of lime on your soil at the right time, particularly when you're growing vegetables. Now, lack of lime will result in poor crops where lime is needed, and we can't afford any such crop failures these days. Now, just exactly what the right amount of lime is depends on several things naturally. The kind of crop you're going to grow is one of them. Some crops, you know, are more sensitive to an acid soil than others are. Then you've got to check and see what reaction your soil has this year. Soil texture also figures in, and the amount to put on depends on the kind of lime that you will be using. It's 6 minutes before 7 o'clock. With warm weather here, your dairy cows are going to need plenty of water and shade while they're on pasture. C.N. Hall, who's the new extension dairyman over at Penn State, tells us that a large-sized cow that's producing heavily will drink between 150 to 300 pounds of water every 24 hours. Now, that may seem like a lot of water, but it just shows how important it is to have water before your cows all the time. Now, if you have to use tanks or troughs, be sure that they're good and clean. They should be cleaned out every 2 weeks in hot weather. Now, if your cows are going to consume all the water necessary for real capacity milk production, the water must be fresh and clean. You'll find that cows will drink more water between 6 and 9 o'clock in the evening than any other time during the day. Now, cows suffer from extreme heat as well as extreme cold, so make sure that your cows have plenty of shade on pasture. If there aren't any trees around, give them a shed that is open on all sides. The time is 5 minutes before 7 o'clock Eastern Wartime. That's all the 180 special for this morning. And here's a very interesting note on the Farm News Wire from Washington this morning. After considerable shopping around, President Roosevelt finally found a man to fill a USDA vacancy. He nominated Charles F. Brannan of Denver, Colorado, to be Assistant Secretary of Agriculture. The job became vacant when Grover B. Hill was promoted to the position of Undersecretary of Agriculture, succeeding Paul H. Appleby. Brannan was formerly Denver Regional Director of the Farm Security Administration. Not long ago, he was appointed Chief of Water Conservation for the FSA. It's understood that the Assistant Secretary spot was offered to several men, including Murray Lincoln, head of the Ohio State Farm Bureau Federation. The President also nominated a new governor of the Farm Credit Administration. He's Ivy W. Dugan, whose nomination to succeed Dr. A.G. Black came as no surprise. 4 minutes before 7 o'clock. We'd like to remind you again that you can get that free illustrated booklet that tells you about inexpensive hail insurance. Here's all you have to do. Write your name and address and the word hail on the back of a penny postcard and mail that postcard today to Modern Farmer, station WEAF, New York 20, New York. And now, our morning that may those lads who are doing that big job march straight and well, as Christian soldiers always have and always will. The time in 20 seconds will be 1 minute before 7 o'clock Eastern War Time. Tomorrow morning we're going to visit a group of up-and-coming New Haven County, Connecticut 4-H Club people in the town of Orange. We'll talk with County Leader Warren Brockett, several leaders and members of the Orange 4-H Agricultural Club. Of course, we'll have another edition of the 180 Special. Songs and music we hope you'll enjoy, including our morning hymn, latest news and weather reports. Well, for now, this is Mert Emmert saying goodbye, the best of luck, and keep smiling. Man's inhumanity to man makes thousands mourn.
Well, so long, Mert Emmert, and till tomorrow. Friends, you've been listening to your Modern Farmer program conducted by Mert Emmert. This program, with portions recorded and transcribed, comes to you each weekday morning at 6:30 from our Radio City studios. This is the National Broadcasting Company. In these historic days, invasion news comes first. NBC will interrupt any and all programs to bring you the latest invasion bulletin. Stay tuned to WEAF, New York.